Local event coverage on Radio St. Pete, a recording of the Power Breakfast sponsored by the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club at the St. Petersburg Museum of History on Monday morning.
Thank you for attending the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club this morning. My name is Nicole Carr, and I'm our current president. We know mornings are not a traditional time for us to meet, and we really appreciate Powell Coffee for their sponsorship and donating a coffee. So thank you very much, Raphael Care. We all love going to the coffee shop, and we know that it is definitely the spot to be seen here in St. Pete. I don't think I've ever sat and had coffee and not run into someone I've known in your place, so thanks. This is the second year we've had a morning meeting in our efforts to expand opportunities for folks to attend who may not be able to attend in our traditional lunchtime meeting. For those of you who may be new to Tiger Bay, the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club is a nonpartisan political club founded in 1978 to foster a better understanding of public issues. We have many long-term members here with great stories of the legacy of Tiger Bay. I hope that during our breakfast this morning, you'll have an opportunity to introduce yourself to the folks around you and learn more about the club if you're new. And even if you're not new, you get the chance to hang out and talk with one another. Organizations like Tiger Bay are very important. We can engage in civil, thoughtful conversations and bring tough questions to the table. We may not always agree, but we can all sit down to lunch, or in this case, breakfast, together. Each of our Tiger Bay events features a spirited time for Q&A in which members vie for the coveted fang and claw for the best question. Please remember, you do need to be a member in order to ask the questions during the Q&A. Our next event is on May 11th, so make sure you mark your calendars. It's our annual legislative update. Peter Schorsch from Florida Politics will be providing the commentary. Our legislative update, like our State of the Bay in January, is often a very well-attended event, so I would encourage you to register early. It's also a really important event, as it goes beyond the typically covered legislative action and digs into the actions that may have significant implications but have gone unnoticed in the headlines. So please go to tigerbay.org to get details and register if you haven't done so already. I'd like to thank our executive director, Pastor J.C. Pritchett, for his continued dedication to our club, both as past president and as our current executive director. Thank you, J.C. I'd like any past presidents who are here in the room to please stand and be acknowledged. I don't think we have anyone today. And any past executive directors. Only been a few and I don't see any. So I'd also like to recognize our current Tiger Bay board, Amy Shore, Beatrice Farrell, Ben Shirley, and David Moran. We also have our always members of our board, the chair of the Republican Party, I don't think he's here, and the chair of the Democratic Party, Jennifer Griffith. Yeah, okay, thank you both for being here. I'd like to recognize our young Tigers from Largo High School. I know they were on their way. And at this time, if there are any elected officials in the audience. No electeds this morning. Okay, and if there are any candidates. It's a little early, but maybe we had some folks throw their hat in the ring who might be here. Okay, then let's go ahead and get our program started. We'd like to welcome our guests today. Bemitra Simmons from Tampa Bay Partnership. Thank you for coming. Freddie Williams from the Boys and Girls Club. Christian Hartigree from University of South Florida St. Petersburg campus. And our moderator from Economic Development Corporation, J.P. Dubuque. Thank you very much. I'll let each of them take a few minutes. Thank you. And I'm going to have our moderator introduce one more of our guests. Thank you. I'm sorry.
CEO of the St. Petersburg Chamber of Commerce, the always powerful Chris Nock.
Again, my name is J.P. Dubuque. I'm the president and CEO of St. Petersburg Area Chamber of Commerce. We're a public-private partnership that promotes St. Petersburg as a business location and hopefully helps to recruit some really great companies to move to this community. And we have some really, really great folks here today this morning. This is a power breakfast. And these people all have positions of power, but they're also incredibly great leaders that earn that power. So what I'd like to do is maybe start with Christian, since she's closest to me, and just give a quick introduction of who you are and what you do and what your organization does.
Go ahead. You can use the mic if you want. Yeah.
I'm afraid. Good morning, everybody. My name is Christian Hordegree. I'm the regional chancellor for USF St. Petersburg. Originally was a trial attorney and a reformed attorney. I practiced in Las Vegas defending hotels, restaurants, and nightclubs, and started teaching, and 25 years later have the privilege and honor of being here in St. Pete.
Great. Thank you. Felicia?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Demetrius Simmons, President and CEO of the Tampa Bay Partnership. The Partnership is a coalition of regional business and not-for-profit C-suite leaders. We put out an annual report that measures Tampa Bay against 19 peer and aspirational markets, and then we use that data to figure out what we need to work on. And we do that through thought leadership, public policy, and advocacy. Glad to be here.
Good morning. I'm Freddie Williams, President and CEO of the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Sun Coast. Speaking of reform, I'm a recovering political strategist. Started my career out of college in politics, and joined the board of the Boys and Girls Clubs, and wanted to make a difference by serving kids and using those skills and abilities in a slightly different way. Here locally, we serve a little over 20,000 kids in Pinellas County. School-age, kindergarten through 12th grade, so happy to be here.
Good morning. Chris Todd, I'm the President and CEO of the St. Petersburg Area Chamber of Commerce. I have been doing this job for a little over 12 years, but I've been in the community since 1988. I actually started at this chamber in 1990 and 91, working at the Peer Information Center and the Information Center that used to be on Hamilton Road, and I was squeezing your orange juice for you to make your hotel reservation. Recently, I've been doing this the last 12 years, but I've worked at the Tampa Bay Partnership for 17, doing what the Beecher did, trying to bring the region together on economic development strategies. So I've been working in community and economic development for about 33 years here in Tampa Bay here.
Very good. Thank you. Again, this is a really great group of leaders here, and I want to give you a little bit of a sense of who they are and what they've been through. Chris, let's start with you. You've been at the Chamber a little over 12 years. I'll let you give the phrase, but it had something to do with when you started at the Chamber 12 plus years ago. They were financially and morally. So you have taken the Chamber from a place where it was nearly going to collapse in on itself to a place where it is the lead economic development entity in our region. Tell me about that path and how you got through that.
Yeah, well, thank you, JP. I'm lucky, man. The Chamber of Commerce is over 124 years old, and all you got to really do is just look up at this right here. This is the spirit of our community. This is the spirit of our Chamber of Commerce. This is the spirit of Rafael Perrier of Kawa Coffee, man. This symbol, three other chambers of commerce across the Florida and the Southeast said no to the three people that came into town to create a commercial aviation. Three different chambers of commerce boards received presentations by one of those guys flying it, the two guys that financed thing, and said, we don't believe in your business model. We, as a chamber of commerce, don't really think we should invest in your business. The Chamber of Commerce here in St. Pete 109 years ago said, wait, what? You're going to do what for our community? One person is going to do what? Three people can do what? You can create commercial aviation and we can get over to Tampa and start making money here? That's what our Chamber of Commerce has done for 124 years, is we believe in the entrepreneur, we believe in we believe in others, and for the last 12 years, that's all I did. When we were morally, spiritually, and financially bankrupt 12 years ago, it was only because we weren't focused on the guy flying that. We were focused on how to support ourselves or how to do whatever else we need to do in life. But our Chamber of Commerce is focused on who's flying that plane and how we're going to get it up in the air. That's my answer.
Very good. Thank you. See, that's the kind of leadership we have here. Bamisha, like me, you are a recovering banker and an ex-college sports
athlete. How did you make the transition from college sports athlete and banker to being one of our community's biggest advocates for big issues?
Well, I think it's a great question. I think the biggest thing is in many ways it's all the same. Like, you're working on the team and trying to get things done. I played point guard in college, and so my job, for those of you not basketball fans, is to get the ball to people where they can score in the most opportune times. That's exactly what I try to do right now here in the region for us, from a business and community standpoint. And what I like to do is remind people that the team you're on is the Tampa Bay team. The position you play might be whatever your city, your county, whatever that may be, but we all have to work together. And I found that time together builds trust, and then once you have trust, you can start working on things as a team and as a region. And that's the approach I've taken, and that's why we start to have some success, I think, in coalition collectively.
That's awesome. And Christian, you dropped in on the St. Pete community in Tampa Bay in the middle of consolidation of the USF campuses. And certainly a lot of tension between the communities. How have you managed to navigate that?
Well, my entire experience here has been in a post-consolidation world, and I see the benefits that were imagined, right? It's the ability to create a leveraged capital by your mass, you know, to have an increase in our reputation immediately, to be able to do more, even in, for example, in the legislature, our number one priority is the Environmental Oceanographic Science Center. Our EOS building, and that is moving forward now. So I see all the benefits of that. The downside to it is kind of like my holiday cooking, right? We put all the consolidation items in a bowl and got all the ingredients together, and we got out our pie tin and we preheated the oven, and then we started having a glass of wine and watching the Kardashians and got a little distracted. We never finished making a pot. And so coming in, it's really an opportunity. Let's get all these ingredients in. Let's, you know, recalibrate our recipe, make sure it's really what serves our students. And folks, we only have 3,600 majors on our St. Pete campus, but this academic year, we had 15,636 new, unique identity people that we have touched as a campus. And so we're able to have more impact on our students, who will be our future leaders and who will be driving our economy in the future. And so now we just got to figure out how, once we matriculate them through, we keep them here. But our reputation is exploding, even within the USF community, not to mention in the broader range.
Awesome. And Freddie, you know, you talk about providing kind of a pathway for tomorrow's leaders. That's what you guys do, and I'm so proud of the work you've done. I'm so proud of the fact that you have been recognized nationally now. You are, if I'm not wrong, the current chairman of the board of the National Boys and Girls Club. Is that correct?
Correct.
How about that? So tell me about how you navigated that. I mean, you said you came out of the political consulting world, which is a whole thing, right? And now you are focused on providing real impact to our community and being a leader and getting other people together. Tell me about that path and that process.
Yeah, thanks. So I was a Boys and Girls Club kid growing up, and we go back to just some of the basics of the community. And the way I got involved was the police told me I had two options. My friends and I got in trouble. They said, we're going to spend the rest of the summer in jail, the rest of the summer in the boys' club. That was a no-brainer, but someone having a little forethought and having real policing and not seeing the stigmatism of what we normally see on TV was so impactful. But all that to say is it gave me this sense of wanting to focus on the right things, kind of the nature's point of not necessarily being the star, but having the right people around you. And the right people are community, it's businesses, it's partner. We got Ted Ballinger from the Art Club, Rich Heller from Shirley Parker Fuller Foundation, are all great partners. So this isn't a Boys and Girls Club. These are all kids within the community that we work together to ensure that we can get them on a pathway so they can be at USF, or get them on a pathway to be at St. Pete College, or many other areas. In terms of my decision, it's just putting in the work and staying focused on the right things, not getting caught up in the noise. That's one thing I learned through politics, is not getting caught up in the noise and just focus on kids. And whenever we focus on kids and every decision we make being on kids in the future, you can never make the wrong decision.
That's awesome. So, Bemitra, you are in kind of the catbird seat as far as big issues facing our community. What do you see as the biggest opportunity for us to make a difference in the community? I'm not going to call it a challenge. I'm going to call it an opportunity. And how are you and the Tampa Bay Partnership working to make changes there?
So thank you for that question. I would say there's 1A and 1B. They really go hand in hand. So we're number one in net migration. So the secret is out. People want to live in Tampa Bay. They figure out we have more than just no taxes and good weather. This is a wonderful place to live. But we're also 19th in our wages. So our wages are not keeping up with the growth that we're having. So I think if we want to continue to have this be an attractive market so that our EDCs and our chambers can do what they need to do from an economic development and recruiting standpoint, we have to have transportation and transit options for our residents in our communities and that connect the counties to one another. So I think that's our biggest opportunity, is you can't have the only way for people to get around is through their vehicles. You know, Pinellas has done some really great things here with, you know, new Sunrun, things like that. We need more of those types of solutions. And then the other side of that is we've got to have, you know, reasonable housing costs for folks to live in here. So you can't be number one in the nation, which we are, in year-over-year housing costs. So we're up 26%. The nation is at 11, so we're almost twice the amount, or over twice the amount of the nation is. You can't be number one in housing costs and under 20th in wages and have all of that growth. So those are our biggest opportunities.
Chris, same thing for you. I mean, you like Bemitra, are really in the catbird seat to see the challenges our community is facing and to put some folks together to help solve those. What do you at the Chamber see as our community's biggest challenge, and how are you navigating that right now?
I think it's more we need more pickleball. Well, I say that because I was at a city council meeting recently, and there was about 12 to 15 people wearing their matching pickleball shirts saying that was the biggest issue. The next 12 to 15 people were worried about the bell that rings off of Ovation when the parking garage opens. People on one can't meditate. No, I'm serious. This is an issue. They can't meditate on their balcony because of the parking garage window bell going off. I thought those were the problems, JP, but I guess not. You're saying there are other problems. There might be one or two other things. Okay. I say that jokingly because there is a world where those are the problems of the residents of St. Pete, believe it or not. Okay, you're right. However, let me put it a different phrase. Does anyone start their job today for the first day of their job? Good idea not to be here. Sixty-two people today in St. Peter starting their job. Every day we start 62 new people in their journey in St. Pete. Every one of them is going to have a different pain point. We know it is hard to live when prices are going up. But let me tell you, boy, I'll tell you what, for those 62 people, they just got about a 28% increase in their salary from where they were, because if you jump jobs right now, you get about anywhere from a 20 to 30% jump in your salary. JP, you know anything about that?
I do.
So that's the world we're in right now. I think a lot of it is relative. If you've been here as long as I have, you worry about just pure, why is there traffic? Why did I have to wait in a light for more than one cycle? Oh my God, who can I talk to about Fifth Avenue North? Why did they take away my lane? So all I wonder is, and I ask all of us this, what is success in the community? Where do we go next? Isn't it about making sure that everybody's experience is just a little bit better every day? That's all we can do. So when we say getting better every day, things I look at are we changing the poverty gap level? Are we we raising people out of poverty? And what about graduation levels? So let me just tell you about graduation levels. Graduation levels, we went up. We were up to 92%, having gone as low as 70% as a county. We, 2 years ago, were at 92%. You know where we're at today? 88%. Okay, so we're going the wrong direction. Is it because of COVID and because of crap in high schools and whatever? Yeah. But is that an indicator for all of us to worry about? What, are we getting better every day? So what we need to do is identify those kind of disparities that we're looking at, that for each one of our experiences, can we get it a little bit better? If you don't have a good education, if you don't have the skills, those are the things that can get you better every day. So when I say there are big problems, our country has big problems. We're a microcosm of it. All I know is I got a chance to walk towards the sunrise this morning on a beautiful pier, and it took, I lived in Crescent Lake. Oh my God, it took me 10 minutes instead of 6 minutes. Oh my God, I'm in paradise with the same problems everyone else in the country has. But we've got a team of people that are working on, and we're trying to just get better every day. So it all becomes
great. And so, Christian, talking about getting better every day, I know that you, when you came in, you had some big ideas of things you might want to get done. Where can we see like the next steps for USF as a system, as well as St. Pete as a campus?
You know, I think much to the point of all of these issues, it's how do we leverage the intellectual capital of our institution, the creativity of the young people, the expertise of the faculty, the hard work of our staff, and in order to address all of these issues, right? It's engaging. One thing I love about our St. Pete campus is you really can't tell where the community starts and the campus starts, right? There are no barriers, and it really is this fluidity. And I think particularly for our campus, you know, being able to partner with our industry in order to help come up with solutions. And it's not just the internships. People always go to a student internship. What about faculty internships? Bringing in a faculty member who has an opportunity to be immersed in an issue or challenge and come up with solutions. Obviously the challenges with hurricanes and coastal resiliency and everything that we see and we're gearing up to, I think we're 48 days out from the next hurricane season.
Let's not keep that counting.
Right. but when we think about our College of Marine Science and really trying to come up with solutions and ways to be more predictive, ways to partner with engineering and not just the coastal engineering pieces, but the engineering of housing and what we do in architecture and how all this ecosystem comes together. How do we serve as a pipeline for St. Pete College? In bringing students in and improving and increasing that. Faculty get into the weeds of tinkering with curriculum. And so you've got these great linear pathways. 8-10 years later, they've slipped a little bit because we've changed things and now they don't match anymore. And so getting back to really analyzing the granules of curriculum in order to figure out what gets you from one level to the next level to the next level, building upon that. And then the placement, being able to keep students here. I mean, right now, a one-bedroom apartment on average in St. Pete's $1,900. In order to be at the 30% for your rent, that's really our goal, you need to have an income of $79,000. There aren't a lot of students coming out of college who are going to be able to do that. And what we don't want to do is educate this phenomenal talent and then force them to export. Right? We want to be able to keep them here and incentivize that and continue to build on it. And so coming up with those solutions, I think, is really critical.
Well, I just want to say that when I graduated from college, I shared a room with three other dudes in a really, really crappy house in a seedy section of town, and I wasn't paying $1,900 a month, but I made it work. So Freddie, where are we? If Chris mentioned graduation rates going down, I know that's one of the things that you guys hope to influence in a positive way over Boys and Girls Club. Where are we right now with youth? And where are you focusing your time to work on right now?
Yeah, so there's so many big, hairy issues that we have in the community. I'm concerned that we're taking the eye off the ball of youth, particularly as it relates to youth's mental health and their well-being. I've worked in Boys and Girls Clubs for 15 years, and it hasn't been until the pandemic that I've ever had to vaporize a child out of one of our facilities. In fact, in the last 24 months, we've had to do it over 4 times. And it just goes to show the challenges that youth face. They see a lot that's going on in the media. They see a lot of what we see in the headlines, and they don't know how to properly process it. And part of it's because as humans and as adults, we don't properly know how to process it as well. And so if you look as being leaders as adults and being able to effectively help young people know how to learn and grow, we've got to do a little bit more. There's also some other indicators outside of high school graduation, which is critically important, but also looking at grade level reading for young people as well. And, you know, elementary school, early in the middle school, you know, you are learning to read, but if you think back to your own education journeys, when you got older, you had to read to learn. So that then transcends to behavioral challenges that we see in the schools, that we see in the community, because sometimes they're just looking for attention and they don't know how to get the attention. Something as a community, we need to make sure we don't take our alcohol. It's great that we're doing a lot of wonderful things, closing gaps, finding those opportunities. But if we don't address youth's mental health and their well-being, we could have a very, very ugly future.
Let's hope we do not get that ugly future. JC, are we about out of time, or do we have time for one question? 5 minutes? Okay. So this is a power breakfast, right? Which I equate power and leadership together. Kind of not sure I like the word power, but for me it has a little bit of a negative connotation. But we've got great leaders up here. And I would like for each of you to tell us the best lesson in leadership that you have learned over your life. So we're going to start right here with you, Christian, because you're looking at me like, holy shit, I can't believe he asked me that question. So, best lesson you've learned as a leader.
I love quotes, and I go with different ones all the time. I've thought of about three or four as different leaders here have been talking, but one of my favorites was Nelson Mandela, who said, "I never lose, I win or I learn." And I love that, because I think that that's part of being a lifelong learner, right? Is, you know, you're going to hit obstacles, you're going to hit things that don't go the way you want them to. So learn and keep at it.
Thank you. Bemidji, same question for you.
Sure. So if you like quotes, I like sports analogies. the biggest lesson I learned is that different situations require a different leadership style depending on what you're trying to solve. And so similar to playing golf, you would never play a round of golf with just your club, because different shots require different clubs, in the same way from when you're trying to solve problems as a leader.
Freddie?
Yeah, well, I don't have an analogy. Well, Brad, I just got talking about kids needing to read. In all seriousness, something from my perspective in leadership is humility and do what you say you're going to do. We're charged as leaders to inspire and empower others, and you need to walk the walk and be humble enough to be able to learn from themselves.
Thank you. Chris?
I got to be honest, I'm with Freddie, I don't have those either, but I think the lesson in leadership that I've learned is, I've gone through cancer recently and just learning how to lead through all that is, I have called on my faith. I've learned that faith really makes a difference. That if when you feel like it's as dark as it can be, as a leader, and no matter what the issue might be, you somehow have to breathe and just have faith and make a prayer and believe that you're doing the right thing for the right purpose, and it tends to work out.
Well, I think that is a great point for us to stop and open the questions up to the audience. JC, am I off the clock now?
Yes, thank you, JP.
All right, good.
Okay, members, please line up here and ask your question. Don't give a speech. And if you want to be a member, you can join online at tigerbay.org.
Sue Landris. Given the changes in that Florida is making in education and cultural things, do you see this as positive or negative or neutral in, or the positive points and the negative points in bringing new businesses into the state or into this area particularly.
I think I'll just speak from an economic development standpoint. I think the cultural wars, I think that you're mentioning, and the state legislator are, the way I like to describe it is we're off task. Like, we have other things that we need to be focused on here in the state, and I think that that's distracting, and then it paints a narrative of who we are as a state that's not necessarily true for the businesses and that are interested in coming here. So we have real things that we've discussed this morning that we need to be focused on, and I think that that just takes us off task.
I'll answer that too. Yeah, I don't think it's a negative or a positive. I think it's a thing, and I believe that businesses are coming to where there's an opportunity, and I think they see Florida as an opportunity because everybody else sees an opportunity. I don't think anybody, you know, people are making decisions based on politics, but what I've seen is that all this politics still nets out that our country is still very divided, but our business community is looking for opportunities to succeed and try to find a workforce, and so I think we've all tuned that out when you can. That's the best part of the business part of this, is you can tune it out.
Harvey Landris. Affordable housing is a critical issue. I think everybody agrees with that. Whether we add 500 or 1,000 units is but a drop in the bucket. Do you see any solution to the affordable housing issue, given that rents and housing prices are just skyrocketing?
Well, I've got one for that while they're thinking about it. I do. If everybody stands up, if we put a dot right here, and we take that ferry that comes up just to go to the Ice Palace for hockey games and stuff, and you literally take it over to the South Hillsborough docks that are being built that are in Riverview. There are more houses, 3-2s, being built there than anywhere else in Tampa Bay. If we are really going to say that for our workforce is going to want that 3-2 affordable house, they're not going to have that on this beach drive, but a 20-minute boat ride, they will have all of that, and that's ready for us. So when you talk about affordable housing, Mimitra mentioned transportation being the answer. We can't build any subdivisions here in St. Pete because all that land is taken care of. We've got to connect to all that land that's a lot cheaper. We've got to do it in the most efficient way. The most efficient way to do it is a water ferry right over to where all the houses are.
I think it's a good answer. I think we need more inventory, and I think we need to build based on the growth that we're seeing, right? So, like, for example, if the mayor in Tampa likes to get up and say she's building 10,000 new units, and I always think to myself, that sounds cool, but is that out of the 12 that we need, or do we need 60,000 units? So I think we need more inventory for the growth that we see today, and then what we're anticipating our growth to be over the next, you know, say 5 or 10 years, but we definitely need some more inventory.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. We really appreciate you and your expertise and your leadership, and I have to say this has been a tremendously positive upbeat, and thank you very much for giving our guests an hour. Our Fannie Claw Award goes to Miss Sue Landers.
You've been listening to local event coverage from Radio St. Pete, a recording of the Power Breakfast, recorded Monday morning at the St. Petersburg Museum of History, a presentation of the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club. The next scheduled Tiger Bay event in St. Petersburg is May the 11th at 11:30 at the St. Petersburg Museum of History, when the speaker will be Peter Schorsch of Florida Politics and his annual legislative review. More information on Suncoast Tiger Bay at tigerbay.org.